Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Movie Podcast, and happy Good Friday. My name is Daniel. I'm one of your hosts today, and joining alongside me is my good friend Shabazz. Hello, Shabazz.
Hello, hello.
How you doing today?
You know, he has not risen yet.
Not yet.
Stay tuned. He will be rising very soon and maybe a guest on our show one day.
You never know. At this point. Who can't we get? You know, Shay, I'm so glad that we're here talking about this. You know, we love getting to talk about movies.
We do. This is why we have the Movie Podcast.
That's exactly right. So whenever we get to have a special guest joining us, it's always special. And we're so delighted today to be working with our friends at MUBI. And welcome a very special guest to the show, writer and director Felipe Galvez of The Settlers, which is a film that we absolutely loved. It premiered last year at the Cannes Film Festival, and it was at TIFF, and we were super lucky to watch it earlier this year. It has stayed on our minds ever since watching it, and it is now streaming exclusively on MUBI in Canada. I want to say a huge thank you to them for sponsoring today's episode. You're going to hear a lot more about them later in this episode. You know all about them. We've worked with them before. You've heard us talk about them before. Check out our show notes below to get a whole month free of incredible cinema. You don't want to miss it. But before we get to our interview, Shabazz.
Yeah.
This is the Movie Podcast.
This is.
Tell them what we're all about.
We are all about movies.
That's so a good start.
Good start. First of all, I'll be honest with you. That's really all we're about.
Very helpful.
No, but we're the Movie Podcast. We're on every streaming platform imaginable that has podcasts.
Yeah. Including YouTube.
Including YouTube. Google Podcasts is shut down.
No more.
So don't go there because you'll be like, what? There's nothing here.
There's
nothing here. What's going on? These guys lied. And we don't want to be liars. We don't want to be liars.
Not liars at all.
And if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, 5 stars is free to do, and it goes a long way, and it really helps us out here on the show. So we really appreciate it. And join our Discord. Our Discord is popping again. It's usually always popping, so why not just say it's popping again?
It's forever popping again.
Yeah.
100%. Of course, like Shay said, everything you need to know is in the show notes below, including how you can get a whole month free of incredible cinema. Don't miss that. Now, next week on the Movie Podcast is a fun one. Not only is it my birthday, I'm just going to throw that
out. Yes, again.
Here we go.
Every
again.
Year it's the same birthday.
Not only is it my birthday, we have an incredible lineup of special guests joining us on the Movie Podcast. And we're also heading to Vegas for CinemaCon, which we are super stoked about.
Yeah. It's the convention all about sinning, right?
Because
we're going to Sin City. I believe that's how it works.
Sin City on Easter weekend, Shay. Really?
Yeah. Wait, is Sin City New Jersey technically, or is it Las Vegas?
No, Sin City is Vegas, right?
Vegas, right?
It has to be. We're going to declare it.
Yeah.
Guys, we know. We are already declaring
it.
Don't roll the dice on this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to CinemaCon, so make sure you tune in to the Movie Podcast for all of our coverage from that. We are so, so excited. But without further ado, we want to kick it over to our interview with writer and director Felipe Galvez. He was an incredible person to speak with. He's so passionate about the film that he created with The Settlers. And like I said, it is going to be one that will stay on your mind long after watching. So without further ado, please welcome Felipe Galvez to the Movie Podcast. Thank you so much, Felipe, for sharing your time with us on the Movie Podcast today. How are you? No problem. We're so honored to have you share your time with us today on the show. We truly loved the film, and we're very excited to talk with you about it today.
Thank you.
We wanted to start off by first asking you, where did your passion to write and explore the story of The Settlers come from?
Bueno, viene de una fotografía, o sea, esta no una historia que la enseñan en los colegios en Chile. Entonces, yo hace unos 15 años encontré una fotografía de un hombre que se sacaba las fotos cazando indígenas. Y a partir de esa foto construí una historia hacia atrás de qué había, traté de investigar, de pensar qué había detrás, había pasado hacia el pasado esa foto y qué podría haber pasado hacia el futuro. O sea, y así nace esta historia y esta película, que como digo, no es una historia que haya sido muy estudiada en Chile, pero que hoy en día es más conocida. De hecho, el Estado chileno acaba de reconocer hace 5 meses este genocidio. ¿Se entiende? No era parte de la historia oficial, pero hace 5 meses pasó a ser por primera vez parte de la historia oficial.
So it comes from a photograph, actually, that was taken 15 years ago. I found it 15 years ago, and it's this photograph taken by a photographer who would take photos of men who would go out to hunt indigenous people and kill them and pose in front of the camera. This is something that isn't really talked about in schools in Chile. And what I did was I took this photo as a kind of starting point, a base block around which to build the story. So I asked myself what happened in the lead up to this and what happened after this photo. That's where the story emerged from. And I think, as much as this wasn't spoken about previously, I think that's beginning to change, because today, as recently as 5 months ago, the Chilean state actually recognized the existence of this genocide for South Asian people.
It's one of those things that when we were watching the film, we were just completely just mesmerized by the story you were telling, but we were also just so incredibly sad of seeing, like, this is history. This is something that has happened, and so oftentimes in film, indigenous voices have been erased. So we're grateful to have a film that is shedding light on these experiences, on these perspectives that have always been here, and are now getting, hopefully, their time to be shown properly on film.
¿Me ayuda, Chris?
Sí, no, que no, nos dio mucha tristeza ver las tragedias que sucedieron en la historia, y que están muy contentos que hay películas como esta que sacan a la luz la verdad que de lo que pasó.
Claro, un poco la motivación de la película es como encontrar esta historia borrada y transformarla en una película, en un western. Aunque yo digo que aparenta ser un western, que porque no lo es, también una película que cuestiona ese género, que también cree que ese género es parte de la colonización, ¿no? Que es un género que sirvió como propaganda para justificar un poco esta matanza. Entonces lo que hago es parecer un western, ocupar su música, todo su elemento, pero para cuestionarlo. Y justamente, pero tampoco para tratar de decir que todo lo que se ve en esta película es una nueva verdad, ¿no? La película no llega con una a plantear una verdad absoluta, sino más bien lo que abre una pregunta, y una película que también tiene humor, que humor negro quizás, pero lo tiene, que también tiene emociones, drama, que quizás a rato alguien pueda sentir miedo. Es como, yo siento que verla es como un viaje, ¿no? No es solamente una película que funcione como una, voy a ir a aprender de un hecho histórico, ¿no? Más bien es voy a ir a hacer un viaje cinematográfico donde voy a ir pasando por emociones y voy a salir con muchas preguntas sobre cómo fueron los procesos de colonización en América también, en general. Y con ciertas reflexiones de qué papel jugó el cine en esos procesos.
Yeah, so one of the main motivations for the film really is exactly that. When I was, looking at, when I was doing research on these erased chapters of our history, I discovered them and I wanted to make them into a story. And I did that through, adopting a Western genre. And although the film seems like it's a Western, it's actually not. But I wanted to adopt that genre, which is a propagandist genre that's often used to kind of justify and sort of apologize for these colonialist movements. So I wanted to use that genre to question it from the inside, and to kind of use its tropes, its music, etc., to kind of reflect on the genre itself. But the film I wouldn't say it's aiming to show the truth, that there is like an objective truth that this happened. It's more about a journey, really. I think there's humor, there's drama, there's fear in this film, and the film takes you on an emotional journey. So it's not just about showing this is a historical fact that happened. It's taking you on a cinematographic voyage through different emotions. So that helps you to kind of think about and reflect on what the colonialization process was like, and also then to reflect on the role that cinema played in that.
This episode of the Movie Podcast is brought to you by Mubi, a global curated streaming service showing exceptional films from around the globe.
From iconic directors to emerging auteurs, there is always something new to discover. Some recent movie releases include The Delinquents by Rodrigo Marino, Fallen Leaves by Aki Kaurismäki, and of course, The Settlers by Felipe Galvez. With MUBI, each and every film is hand-selected. It's like your own personal film festival streaming anytime, anywhere. You know, you've heard us talk about MUBI before. We absolutely love working with them. We love that we have a world of cinema at our fingertips. We get to really lose ourselves in so many of the films that we watch. And what's really cool, I mean, you know how much we love Christopher Nolan here on the MUBI podcast.
Who?
Mr. Christopher Nolan, sorry, soon to be Sir Christopher Nolan. Oh no. If you want to watch Christopher Nolan's first film, Following, that is one of my absolute favorites. You can watch it on MUBI.
Not only is the site easy to navigate, it also looks really good. I love using the app. I love using the app on the Apple TV as well. There's so many great movies that just kind of pop up and I'm right into it.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be overwhelmed with how many incredible movies are on there. Build a list of movies that you want to watch. Find your new favorite. And I think that's the biggest thing with MUBI is that you're going to find your next favorite movie.
You can try MUBI free for 30 days at MUBI.com/themoviepodcast. That's MUBI.com/themoviepodcast for a whole month of great cinema for free.
We would love to know more about the production of the film. It felt like there was a lot of use of natural light and obviously getting to shoot in real outdoor locations. What was that like?
Sorry.
Se usó mucho la luz natural en y cómo fue filmar en entornos naturales.
Sí, muy difícil trabajar con luces en Tierra del Fuego porque hay mucho viento. Entonces muchas veces, aunque uno las tenga y las tenía pensadas ocupar, no se pueden levantar. También es difícil trabajar con hacer rebotar la luz, porque también es muy difícil mantener las pantallas que resistan el viento. Entonces, más bien hay que fotografiar la película con los elementos que la naturaleza te va entregando día a día. Hay que estar muy abierto al cambio. No, uno llega muchas veces al set, imaginémonos en una película con un guión que se escribió durante mucho tiempo y que se esperó mucho tiempo por filmarlo, pero que cada mañana o cada hora se tiene que exponer a lo que la naturaleza te permita hacer. Entonces, la fotografía es algo similar. El fotógrafo es su segunda película en Tierra del Fuego, por lo tanto estaba preparado psicológicamente. De hecho, él me dijo eso, que teníamos que cuando empezáramos a filmar una escena, la teníamos que terminar, no importaba cómo. Así llegamos a filmar la escena del Coronel Martin en la noche, que son 8 páginas de guión, y que tuve 7 horas para filmarla. Y yo siempre digo que lo único que pensaba era que quería matar a mis productores. Los encontraba muy felices que me habían hecho filmar 8 páginas. En siete horas habían ido 3 años de mi vida y estaba sufriendo un montón. Pero en cierto momento, cuando terminamos de filmar, vino una tormenta y se desapareció todo el set. Se llevó todo el set y no quedó nada. Y de hecho, al otro día filmamos solo unos primeros planos de los personajes hablando, que fue lo único que se pudo hacer. Entonces creo que se trabaja de esa manera, se trabaja adaptándose a la naturaleza, tratando de ir siempre con ella y nunca en contra, y trabajando de forma rápida. Sí habían unas luces LED que eran muy potentes y que eran muy rápidas de trabajar. Entonces trabajamos con una tecnología con mucha tecnología nueva que era muy rápida y que era muy pequeña y que iluminaba mucho. Pero generalmente la naturaleza siempre podía hacer que algo pasara. Por ejemplo, ese día el generador llovió mucho, se mojó, no quiso encender. O sea, siempre estábamos con la naturaleza como acechando la película.
Sí, it was very difficult in Tierra del Fuego. It's a really windy place. Because, you know, even if you want to, very often you can't film. Sometimes the wind would be so strong that we couldn't even keep the set in place. So you have to be really open to adaptation, going with the flow. It's not about what you want to do, because often we'd come to the set with this idea of like, okay, we're going to film this today and have these preconceived ideas in our heads. And you'd have to think, well, will nature actually allow that to happen? The photographer I was working with, this was his second film in Tierra del Fuego, so fortunately he was really experienced in how to work there. And he actually told me that when you start to film a scene, you have to finish it. So, because, you know, adverse weather can come and scupper everything. And with the scene with Colonel Martin, that was 8 pages of script. And we had my producers, I wanted to kill them, to be honest, because they gave me 7 hours to get that done, you know. 3 years of my life's work in, you know, 7 hours. But, you know, we tried to film that, and a tremendous storm came and the set completely disappeared. So yeah, you have to adapt, you have to go with the flow. We also used modern technology. It was very light and efficient, and that enabled us to work quickly. You have to work quickly in theater as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. And I think it shows in the work that you've done. We know we have time for one more question, and we wish you had more time to talk more and really deconstruct the film with you. But we wanted to ask you, you know, this is your first feature length film as a director. Leaving this film, what are you really hoping audiences take away from it? And what do you want them to go forth with the message of this film?
Sí, bueno, en la primera película, y es la primera vez que trato, bueno, en la primera película es la primera reflexión, ¿no? Es como una primera reflexión que uno hace como cineasta. Que creo que el mensaje es que yo más bien dejo una pregunta. Lo que no me interesa quizás es dejar un mensaje muy claro. A mí me gusta una crítica que se me hace que los colonos en una película con mensaje, sin mensaje. Y esa idea de sin mensaje creo que tiene que ver con que el mensaje depende de de la respuesta que uno le quiera dar a la pregunta que te deje la película. Pero sí hay algo que a mí me interesa, que es cuestionar la figura heroica, ¿no? A mí me interesa como derribar estos como héroes masculinos que hay en las películas. En este caso fue el cowboy, y yo creo que hay mucho otro género de propaganda, y hay mucho otro héroe en el cine que se pueden seguir cuestionando, y hay muchos otros géneros en los cuales me puedo infiltrar. Entonces, creo que esta fue una pregunta que yo me hice sobre el cine, cuál fue el rol del cine en los procesos de colonización, ¿no? Cuál fue el rol del cine en el inicio del siglo, en los procesos de matanzas con los indígenas. Y esa es la pregunta que dejo. Y ahora me interesa mucho ir a otra pregunta, que es como, ¿cuál es el rol de los espías? ¿Cuál es el rol del nuevo héroe que va a construir el cine que reemplaza al cowboy, ¿no? ¿Cuál fue el rol de los espías, ¿no? ¿Cuál es, qué hay detrás de construir a James Bond? Entonces, creo que también es una película que va haciendo preguntas sobre el cine. Por eso es una película ideal para cinéfilos, y para que todos vayan a encontrar referencia, a jugar el juego, encontrar como la referencia, y a también de reflexionar de los mecanismos que tiene el cine de representar la historia.
Yeah, it was my first feature, and also the kind of the first reflection I made as a filmmaker, as an artist, I suppose. And more than kind of leaving a message that the audience can take away with them, rather what I wanted to do was pose questions, sort of getting away from this idea of a message. And I suppose that the message that you could take from this film would depend on the answer you have to the questions you're left with upon finishing the film, right? But there's also something for me about, I wanted to take down this masculine idea of the hero, which is in the genre. And I think I also wanted to, of course, question the role of that film had played in colonization, in indigenous massacres throughout history. And then sort of moving forward, I'm now kind of quite interested in what roles spies play, you know, like James Bond, where these spies come from. It almost seems like they've replaced cowboys. So yeah, this is a film that kind of questions the Western genre. And as such, I think it's an ideal film for film lovers, because it's, you know, there's so many opportunities to play the game of spotting the references to other films there to keep you entertained.
Felipe, thank you so much. I think Rosa's face is going to stay with us. That shot of her face is going to stay with us for a long time. So I just want to say thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And welcome back. That was a great conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I love when we get to speak to directors, especially those who do not speak our native language.
Urdu?
Or no. Well, that's not my native language, no. But it's so cool. And like, I think that's just the power of cinema, that it transcends language, right? It feels like you feel that. You feel the images, you feel what you're watching. And I think getting to speak with Felipe today, and obviously was through
an interpreter,
which is something that we've done before on the show. And I'm so glad that we've gotten these opportunities to do that, because it really just opens us up to a world of cinema that is not what we'll typically see in theaters or on TV. And I think that's what's really cool about MUBI, that we have a world of cinema at our fingertips all the time. But let's talk a little bit more about The Settlers. And I think something, a poignant point that always stuck with me all this time after watching the film and talking to Felipe, is how he wanted to use this Western genre to a genre that, like, when he was mentioning, it's like typically propaganda. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, like, you don't often think about, like, I mean, I love Westerns. We have so many Westerns that in, you know, North American, especially in American culture,
Hollywood culture,
you know, that
big on Westerns.
That was a huge genre of film for such a long time. But you really, it's not until you really get older and you start to really think about, like, how are they depicting, you know, a certain group of people?
You're not wrong. And it's one of those things that, again, in that interview was like, whoa, it was kind of like opened up your eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's us being naive and watching Westerns when we were young, because we haven't gotten too many Westerns now as we've gotten older. So sometimes when I even watch, like, I watched Tombstone not long ago.
Yeah.
I watched it through the lens of still being a child, of like watching that movie when it came out.
Yeah. And that's exactly that. And when you're seeing what's going on in this film, when you have like the British trying to, you know, obviously take over more land, mm-hmm. You have some really incredible,
as they do.
But you see the performances in this film, and like I told him, like, there's images in this film that feel burnt into my brain. And it really is a powerful film. So again, if you're looking for something to really broaden your horizon in the world of cinema, I definitely recommend The Settlers. I know, listen, this is a sponsored episode, 100%, but this is a film that I would hope somebody would recommend to me to watch one day.
Yeah, you know? No, I absolutely agree with you. I think, I'm grateful for moments like this, and I'm grateful for MUBI that we get these opportunities to speak to people again that we normally don't get the chance to speak to.
Right.
But then also watching these movies that maybe weren't on our radar, I think is like the best way to put it. And watching this movie, first of all, it is stunning. The use of what appears like natural light throughout most of this film.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got to bring that up to him as well too. Just like, it's so gorgeous to look at. And you know, when he's talking about how, like, yeah, we had to shoot fast because the sets would be gone
right
if we waited too long.
And
right,
you're just at the mercy of being outside. So you're watching this movie, you're seeing these characters really go through the harshness of the environment that they're in.
Right,
it's phenomenal. It's one of those movies that, again, like you said, Daniel, there's so many images in this movie that just kind of burnt in my head. Some that are abhorrently violent, but they absolutely are necessary because they are telling the story and they're not trying to sugarcoat it. And that's what I think, what I love the most about this movie, is that it just, The Settlers is transparent all the way through.
Yeah. And I think the aspect ratio is another thing that we brought up, that like, oh, this looks so different. It makes, you know, the mountains, it makes the landscapes look so massive.
Yeah.
Right. And it's
almost like IMAX 4:3 kind of look.
Yeah. Exactly that. But yeah, it truly is a beautiful movie. And I think just being, you know, broadened, having my own horizons broadened to this larger world of cinema, and I'm really excited to see what Felipe does next, because you know, obviously he's very interested in the world of spies, from what he was saying with James Bond and how that's kind of shaped our perception of things. So I'm like, oh, I'm curious to see, like, is Felipe going to do like a spy movie next? I mean, we were more limited on time,
but here for that.
Let's see what he does with it. Yeah. Right. But again, we want to say thank you to our friends at MUBI for inviting us to watch this film and for allowing Felipe to join us on the MUBI podcast today. Of course, if you want to get a whole month of great cinema, check out our show notes below. You'll use our link, and that helps us out a lot too on the MUBI podcast. If you want to sign up, you get a month free. You don't have to pay anything, and you get access to MUBI, which is an incredible, incredible service. You owe it to yourself to do that. But of course, this is the MUBI podcast. You can catch brand new episodes all throughout the week. We are headed to CinemaCon very, very soon. So make sure you tune into our socials to see everything that we have coming up. That was This Time with the MUBI podcast, and we'll see you next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.